We left off yesterday, so we began to analyze the Shittas HaRan that we spent so much time about before Yom Tov, where the Ran tells us that whenever you have a Suffolk Kiddushin, so in the Torah, the woman does not require a get because you follow the Chazak, you follow the status quo, since she had a Cheskas Penuya. As a marshal for this, as a proof to this, the Ran said, just as when you have a Suffolk Adina Mominus, so you follow what the original status was, then you give the money back to the Mukhsak, and you give the money back to the Mukhsak to such an extent that even if the other fellow grabs it, we take it away from the grabber, we take it away from the tofes, and we give it back to the original muksuk. So the Ran says, just as in Mamunus, you follow the muksuk to such an extent, so too in Isavahetta, you follow the chazaka to such an extent as well, and the woman doesn't require a get min Torah. So we threw our hands up at the beginning of the Shia yesterday and said, it's a very difficult Ran. He's mixing Surim and Mamunus, and he's not even bringing a proof from the fact that we follow Muxuk. He's bringing a proof from the fact that we follow Muxuk to such an extent that Tfisa doesn't work, that puts us over the edge. That's what proves to us his theory that you don't require a get. What in the world is that all about? So why should we not follow Muxuk to such an extent? And what does that indicate to us about our general topic of following Chazokos? So that's the goal. So in order to understand, in order to reach that goal, we began yesterday to try to analyze this very halacha, namely, do you really follow Muxuk to such an extent? Reuven and Shimon are having a fight over money, and Reuven grabs something, and we know that Shimon used to own it, and now Reuven grabs it. So what do? We say, Tfisa liach ha-shinol ha-sofek works, or do we say, Tfisa liach ha-shinol ha-sofek doesn't work? When Chazal coined the phrase, Tuk fe koin motzir mi yado, the reason why we use the term of Kohen is because the original Sugya of Metziah Davav was talking about a Kohen. It's talking about a Suffolk Bechor that the Kohen grabs. Do we make him give it back or not? So when we analyzed the beginning of the Sugya of Metziah Davav, we came to the quick realization that the conclusion of the Gemara seems to be that Tuk for Kohen Metziah Miyado, that we have a Suffolk, whether this is a Bechor or not. So we paskin a Motzim Bechamel of Araya, we leave it by the Israel, even if the Kohen subsequently comes and grabs it, we're going to take it away from him. So if you just open up a Metziah Davav, it's clear that Tachfa Kohen Motziah Miyado, which translates to mean Tfisa Liachshon or something Lo Mahari, it's not valid. However, there's a complicated Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yutes that may indicate otherwise. That's really where we left off yesterday, trying just to begin to understand the Gemara in Ksubas. Let's just go back for a moment to the third of the Memekomos, because it is a little bit of a complicated scenario. So the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yutes of Beis, the third of the Memekomos, Shnayim Chasumin Al Hashtar Meisu. If two people signed the document and then they died, Ubo Shnayim in Ashuk V'yamu, two other people come and say, Yadarech Sav Yadamu, we know that they are the signatures, but they weren't supposed to be signing the shtar, either because they were forced into it, or because they were under a mitzvah, or because they were psulim to the edim. So in all the three cases, the second set of edim, on the one hand, they're being mekayim the shtar. So they are validating the signatures of the shtar. On the other hand, they're saying that valid signatures, but should have been testified in the first place. So harei elin amanim. So in these three cases, so the second set of edim are believed. The reason why they believe, the Gemara explains, is because without them, we wouldn't have had a shtar anyway. Because a shtar without kiyum shtaros is basically worthless. So when the second set of edim are mekayim the shtar, but in the same breath they tell us that the edim were posel anyway, so then in effect, the second set of edim are pesh also pesh hitir. They're the ones who gave credibility to the shtar in the first place. They're the ones who are believed to say that the shtar is not acceptable in the second place. So the first case of the brayis is fairly simple. It's the second case that gets a little bit more complicated. What if we don't need the second set of edim to verify the witnesses? We have another way of knowing. We have other edim who can testify that the signatures are legitimate. Or we have an independent way of verifying the signatures. We have previous documents that have already undergone checking through Beis Din, have already been ascertained to be the signatures. So we'll do it on our own. We don't need the second set of Edim. So since we don't need the second set of Edim, so then when the second set of Edim come in and say, these apostle signatures, we don't accept them. Then we're not going to accept them. So he asks the Gemara, well, what would that mean exactly? That we have Reuven has a document that says that Shimon owes him $1,000, and the two Edim who are signed on the document have been confirmed to be legitimate. So it's as if they are testifying that Shimon owes $1,000. On the other hand, there are two other guys, there's Dan and Naftali, who are saying it's not true, that the shtar is not an acceptable shtar. So we have, in fact, a two-on-two. Is this a valid shtar or not? So the shtar is speaking for itself, saying that we are good, but the two Edom who are saying that, no, you're no good, are contradicting it. So the simple meaning of the braise is that Ein Elon Amona means that we don't accept the second set of Edom to disqualify the shtar. It sounds like Beis Din is going to collect with the shtar. So he asks the Gemara, Umagbina Beki Vishtar Ma'alya. Is that true? We're going to use the shtar like a valid shtar. We're going to be mighty mammon. We're going to take away $1,000 like a good valid shtar. V'yamai, treyu treyinu. It's a stalemate. It's a 2-on-2. So it's a 2-on-2, but automatically, by definition, is a suffix. How in the world can we be mighty mammon be suffix? So Gemara revamps and reinterprets the entire brass. Elam Rav Nachman. Uki trey lahadi trey. Rav Nachman says what we really do is we say two Edom are contradicting two Edom. And therefore we leave the money by Shimon, namely we're not Maitzi the Mammon. We don't take away the money from Shimon. And Rav Nachman's statement makes perfect sense. Logically, conceptually, it makes perfect sense. That's exactly what we would have thought the din is. We have a sveik of the din, we have a suffik, who are the correct Edim. And therefore we just draw our hands up and leave it as a stalemate. So conceptually Rav Nachman makes a lot of sense. The problem with Rav Nachman's interpretation is textually very difficult, because the Braisa said, "Ein elin amonim." The Braisa says that the Edom HaPoslim are not believed. So what does that mean, they're not believed? They are believed, according to Rav Nachman. According to Rav Nachman, tachlis, they are believed. Because according to Rav Nachman, we leave the money where it is. We don't collect the money from Shimon. So how could the Braisa say with a straight face, "Ein elin amonim"? What do those three words mean? So Rashi comes quickly to the defense of Rav Nachman, and Rashi explains as follows. In the fifth of the Mamakamos, Rashi says, "V'ukim b'mona b'cheskes marei, b'cheskes halove. We leave the money by the love, or v'imkarke. If the issue involved selling land, tama b'cheskes hamocher, it stays by the seller. We'll leave that part out for now. So now, for Rashi Akasha, udiktani b'braisa, that which it says in the braisa, ein nemonim. It says in the braisa that the second set of Edom are not believed to disqualify the shtar." Lo the levi shtar ma'alya. Don't misinterpret the braisa like the Gemara did misinterpret before to mean that the shtar is fantastic. Lemigveve, that the shtar is perfectly legit in order to use it to collect with. No, what it means is as follows: Ela de lo karina le. When we say that the second set of Edom are not believed, what that means is we're not going to act on their statement. If we really would have believed the second set of Edom, we would have taken the shtar and ripped it up and thrown it to the garbage. If, like in the first case, where we don't have an independent kiyum shtaros, and we're basing everything on the second Edom, and the Edom are telling us the shtar is no good, so the Brice is said in the Reisha, Re Ilun Amonim. Ilun Amonim means Bezin will turn around to Reuven and say, hand us over that forged document, and not literally forged, but that disqualified document, and we shred it to pieces because we don't want it to be used anymore. So that's what the beginning of the Brice meant. It's to that the end of the Brice contrasts and says, we're not going to do that. You know we're not going to do that? Because we don't really know that the shtar is possible. So now we're walking a very fine line on a tightrope. On the one hand, we don't want to shred the document because we don't know it's puzzle. On the other hand, we don't want to use it either because we don't know it's kosher. So what do we do with it? Nothing. We just kind of leave it and wait. And what are the ramifications of not shredding that document? If we're not going to use it anyway, so why do we let him hold on to it? For the following reason, Rashi continues. V'i tofis midi. What would the din be if subsequent to our psach of it's a suffix, it's a motzi b'chalev l'avaraya, we can't tell you what to do. Subsequent to that issuing of a psak, the other fellow grabs the money. I mean, Reuven grabs the money. V'tavis midi v'hadar osi hai v'tavim midi. So Reuven didn't listen to us. He went ahead and he grabbed the $1,000 on his own. And now the other guy, Shimon, comes and says, I want my money back. You rabbis, you bezin, just paskin last week. Hamotzi b'chalev l'avaraya. So last week, in effect, you paskin in my favor. Now in Reuven, he's a 6'7 and I'm 5'2 and he beat me up and he took my money away. So you should take the money away from Reuven. You Rabbanim, you Paskin, you basically Paskin, Motz Mechel Avaraya. What do we turn around and say to Shimon? Lo Mafkinin Minei. We're not going to take the money away from Reuven. You know why? The Amrinan Uki Trey Vahaditrey, because at the end of the day, we don't really know that the shtar is or is not good. We have no idea, because we had a stalemate of 2-on-2. Wherever the money is, that's where it's going to remain. So last week, we paskined in Shimon's favor, because he was the muchzok. But this week, when Reuven becomes a muchzok, we're going to turn around and paskin in Reuven's favor. So Rashi gave you a whole speech, a three-line speech as to what's going to happen. The Gemara didn't say a word about this. The Gemara never said anything about tefis, anything about beating people up. The Gemara didn't say boo. There's no word. But Rashi forced this into the Gemara because if not, so how does Rav Nachman read the Braisa? Because on the one hand, when you have a tray, Rav Nachman says, leave the money where it is, don't do anything. But the Braisa says, ain't ail nem on him. What do you mean, ain't ail nem on him? It's not true. So it is nem on him. So Rashi says, nah, what it means is that they're not nem on to destroy the shtar. If we would have believed the second set completely and destroyed the shtar, then Tfisa wouldn't have worked because it wouldn't have been a suffer. It would have been a father that there's no shtar here. But once we keep the shtar intact, what that translates to mean is we're paskening misafik you don't pay. When we paskening misafik you don't pay, that keeps the window open for a subsequent tfisa. So when all the dust settles, Rashi was forced. I mean, at least we think we know what is compelling Rashi to give us this whole presentation, which basically the bottom line translates to mean that when you have a suffix in mamon, muksach yes, muksach ver yes, but tfisa works. So now this Rashi becomes very problematic because what Rashi is learning in Ksubas Daf Yutes and Daf Chaf is in effect contradicting what we said about Metziyah Davav. So about Metziyah Davav, when we learned the sugya of Tokfei Kayed, we learned the sugya of Tfisa Liachas Shelod HaSofek. So the Gemara said explicitly, Tokfei Kayed might see in Miyado. Tfisa Liachas Shelod HaSofek does not work. That's not a way to run a Beis Din. That when Beis Din paskins Muchsok, that's the Psach remains forever and ever and ever. And if someone physically tries to change that, we're going to take the money away from him. That's what came out of Bamitzia Davav. We get the Ksubas Daf Yutes and Daf Chaf, so everything changes. We get the Ksubas Daf Yutes and Daf Chaf, so Rashi says, no, when you have a Tfisa Daf Chaf, something that is a valid mechanism in Halacha. Whether he should have done it or shouldn't have done it, it's a different story. Ethically, morally, whether the 6-7 guy should beat up the 5-2 guy, I can hear somebody questioning whether that's the right thing to do. But Tachlis, when he did it, he's not going to stop because hands are tied. Muchsuk, he used to be Muchsuk, now he's the Muchsuk. I brought a cup with me and it crushed as I opened my umbrella. This morning, crushed the umbrella, banged into it. So maybe just a cup of water. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I didn't realize how much I really need the cup of water in the morning until you don't have it. So comes Tosfos in Ksubas and Daf Chaf and addresses this issue. Comes Tosfos and says, this is our kasha. So in the sixth of the Marma Kamas, so Tosfos says, Uki Meman Becheses Barei. Pirish Bakundris, the Einan Emonim Diktoriai, Rashi's textual kasha, it says Einan Emonim in the Braisa. Nah, Lav the Magmina Bishtara doesn't mean that we actually use the Shtar to collect. Eld Lo Karina Le, means we don't rip it up. Vinaf Kabina, the practical difference would be, the Tafas Lomaf Kirin, meaning the other fellow would be Telface, we're not going to take it. So Frek Taisis Akasha Vikasha, the Yom of Berkam of the Vamitsia, Kabe Suffolk Bechor, Tachfa Kain Matsia no Samiyado. So Tosfos presents Akash Astira from the Gemara in Bavitziah against what Rashi says. So comes Tosfos and suggests the following. V'yesh loymar. D'shayni gabi b'chor, she'koein tofes misafek, de'ein yedeya im b'chor hu. Aval hocha she'toein bari mahan yetfisa. Says Tosfos, there's a big difference between the tfisa of Bavitziah and the tfisa of Ksubas. In the case of Bavitziah, when the Kohen is toe-faced the Bechor, does the Kohen have anything to go on? When we look the Kohen in the eye and we say to him, what makes you think you have a right to be toe-faced? So the Kohen says, well, I was toe-faced because it's a Bechor. So we say to him, can you please explain to me, how in the world do you know that it's a Bechor? So you're not the farmer. The farmer, nobody knows. We don't know. Nobody knows whether it's a Bechor. So you know, you have Ruach HaKodesh, you know that it's a Bechor. So the Kohen says, you're right, I don't really know. But it's a 50-50 chance. So we turn around to the Kohen and we say to him, when you're Toyfes, Liacha Shalon HaSofik, and your Tfis itself isn't even justified, even the Fishi Toscha, you had no right to be Toyfes. The Fid Varacha, thank you so much, I appreciate it. Yishkech. Thank you. Even the feed varecha, you had no right to be toyface because your tfisa is only accompanied with a tiny sofek. You yourself don't know what you're doing, and we already paskin last week that you have no right to be toyface. And you went and toyface b'sofek. That's not going to happen. But in the case of ksubis, Shimon says, "I'm telling you, I know for a fact that I don't have to pay." And Reuven's turning around and saying, "I know for a fact that he does have to pay." Reuven says, "I'm telling you, this guy, I lent him $1,000. I'm telling you, these Edom are kosher. I don't care what the other set of Edom are saying." So in the case of Reuven and Shimon and Ksubis, Daf Yutes, each one is a Tainus Vadai. So when you have a Tainus Vadai against a Tainus Vadai, so true, from Beis Din's vantage, what's the same suffering? If he has the Dayorim, it's a 50-50 chance in the case of the two Sfakis. It's a 50-50 chance in the case of the two Vadais. So the initial Psak of Beis Din is going to be the same whether the Tainus are Sfakis or Vadais. But the subsequent protocol of Beis Din, namely, will we accept Tfisa? That's where they're going to differ. So Tfisa is going to be acceptable when at least it's accompanied with the Titus Vadai, whereas a Tfisa with the Titus Suffolk is out of bounds. The Oidish Lomer. Then Tosis offers another answer. The Oidish Lomer. So if you read the Tosis on the page, it sounds like it's one long, you know, continuing answer. There's like 10 lines of break in between. I cut out all the middle. The Oidish Lomer. The Hocha Meirik is a toughest kolim shenolad asafek. So comes Tosin Ksubis and says, "No, there's a big difference." In the case of Metzia, Beis Din already issued the psak that we have a suffolk. We don't know what to do. The farmer and the kohen are screaming at each other. We have no idea what to do. We, the power invested in us, hereby paskin that Muksach wins, Muksach Levaraya, and therefore the case is over. And then the guy a week later goes in his toy face. He has no right to do that. Once a psak is issued that it's a suffolk and it's a muksok, so then the second guy has no right to be toifes. Mashiach Kain, what if the tfisa happened? We know tfisa happened, but it happened before we even got to the case. It means Reuven already grabbed the money before we even started the proceedings. So that's a tfisa, quote unquote, kolim shenolad asafek. So even though at the end of the day the facts are the same, at the end of the day we have a suffolk, at the end of the day we know there was a tfisa, at the end of the day we know that we should have pasked muksok, could have, should have, would have, but didn't. That means kozman, we didn't. Kozman, that the tfisa preceded the psak of muksok, that's okay. Then we're not going to make the other person give it back. So basically what Tosfos just did was they put the brakes on Bavitzia Davav. When we learned Bavitzia Davav, we thought, oh, tfisa, that's on a suffolk. That's worthless, that's meaningless, garnish, nothing, doesn't help at all. Tfisach shalasav, it's absolutely meaningless in halacha. And now we say, you know, not so simple. There are sometimes that tfisa in situations of suffolk does work. Either it works in a case of when it's accompanied by a tainis vadai, so maybe that tainis bari, tainis vadai, maybe that does work. As long as chronologically the tfisa happened to just by quirk precede the suffolk, precede the psak of Beis Din, even though in the end of the day the statistics are all the same, the numbers of Beis Din's vantage point is like the suffolk, but since the tfisa was done almost beheta, the tfisa was done almost before Beis Din told him not to be typhase, so someone was going to let him keep the money. So the question is, what are these terutza mean exactly? This is just arbitrary. This, you know, Tais had a problem. Gemara to Bamasiya State Azoi, Gemara Ksuba State Azoi, so let's look for differences. I always tell the Tabidim in Yeshiva, you know, I throw out a question, I say, what's the difference between the Gemara in Yevamos and the Gemara in Chulin? Give me a difference. So Abachar will give me there's a difference. So I challenge him, but with three magic words. The three magic words are true but irrelevant. The difference may be true, but why is that relevant to our discussion? It's like Lamashal, if I would say to you, so in Hilchas Brachas, I want to know what's the difference between an apple and an orange. So you say an apple is red and orange is orange. So, okay, that's true, but that's irrelevant. They both grow on trees. The only fact that really matters is that they both grow on trees. So whenever you discuss chilukim and halacha, you can't just say, well, there's a difference and move on. The difference has to explain why there is a consequential difference in halacha. So I agree to Tais 100% that the two cases are different. In one case, there's a bari, one case, there's a suffolk. In one case, it's before the suffolk, one case. So, asma, true but irrelevant. Why
if the tweets is before the suffolk, then we understand, I mean...
Okay, we have to understand why we understand it. What exactly is the nakuda that's really, really determined? What's the characteristic of these kinds of tfisas that somehow tfisas does work?
What about the distinction that we made in the previous study between the nature of the suffix?
Oh, so we have three pages plus to try to figure out which fakers are what. We got to work it out for us. So, in order to understand Tosa's exceptions to the rule, also it's like Lumdus 101, to understand exceptions, you can't start a sugya by understanding exceptions. You have to start a sugya by understanding what the rule is. Why does Tfisa Lachshah HaSofik not work? Why is the Gemara Bamitzia so convinced that Tachva Kain Matzia Miyado? If we understand why Tfisa doesn't work in 99% of the time, then we have a fighting chance to understand why it may work in these one or two exceptions to the rule. So these are the quirks. These are the Yotzim in the cloud. This is the Tfisa with the Titus Bari. This is the Tfisa what was done technically before Beis Din issued the Psak. Why those exceptions work, we have to understand the exceptions to the rule in light of what the rule itself is. So we have to really go back to the ABCs of Amitzia Davav. Why does Tfisa Lachshel HaSafik not work? What's wrong with it? It makes a lot of sense. Tfisa Lachshel HaSafik. Because after all, our initial Psak was not really a Psak. Our initial Psak was, but the guy's Muchzuk. So he was Muchzuk. Time moves on. The world doesn't remain status. Things change. The world goes on. Yesterday's Muchzuk was not today's Muchzuk. Today invited the other guy's Muchzuk. So what's Pshat? So L'chara, one can understand this in one of two ways. Either one can understand that the reason why Tfisa doesn't work is because the Halacha doesn't recognize the concept of Tfisa. Tfisa doesn't register on our scale. The fact that somebody's holding on to something, but we know that the reason why he's holding on to it is because he beat the other guy up. So what does that mean in halacha? That's a meaningless statement. That's not a muchzuk. The word muchzuk means I'm holding on to something. Beis Din doesn't know, but we have no reason to believe there was any monkey business that was done. We don't know. We push it up. Beis Din is not Nevi'im. We don't know everything. Sometimes Beis Din on Nevi'im, but that we're passing the Torah based on this world. So the Beis Din has no clue what happened, but we have no reason to believe that anybody beat anybody else up. That's muchzuk. But if we know that money was attained because of force, that's the wild, wild west. That's not how halacha works. So that notion of, ich bin a muchzuk, what do you mean you're a muchzuk? We're going to play on the camera. You're a muchzuk because you stepped in the other guy's head. And that doesn't make you into a muchzuk. So the Torah doesn't recognize the notion of tfis altogether.
Or the muchzuk goes at time zero.
We're going to fine-tune this in a moment. Or probably not in a moment, remember in 3 days when we get to the next year. But at least begin to fine-tune it. Now, that statement that I just said, that the halacha doesn't recognize force, the halacha doesn't recognize tfisa. Tfisa is something you do when you're out in the lawless, sheriffless country, not something that you do in civilization. So that statement is not 100% true, because there is a principle of tfisa in halacha. Marshall, we spoke about it in different sugyas, that there is a principle of tfisa in halacha. Marshall, what's the din if you have a din of knas? So the halacha says that, say, I stole something from you, and I'm caught, so Beis Din says I have to pay kefel. Or by shechted, I have to pay, I have to pay dal mei. There are many, many areas of halacha where I have to pay above and beyond what I'm obligated to, what I theoretically should be obligated to pay. Those are the parsha of kenas. So the dinim of kenas can only be done by a Beis Din samuch. If you have a Beis Din that has authentic smicha, if a Moshe Rabbeinu in Eretz Yisrael, a whole particular protocol that can only be done to have kenas. That's why the Gemara says, "Botlu dina kenasos b'zmanazeh." B'zmanazeh, we don't have kenasos. We don't make people pay kenasos anymore because we don't have the yarim smuchim. Comes the Gemara of a kamadav tezayin of a Beis Din says, "What if Nebuch Yehovah didn't turn that kenasos in Bavel? We have no dayanim to go to." And the fellow who thinks the money's coming to him, and we think the money really is coming to him. The dintar indicated the money's coming to him, but we can't do anything about it. So comes the Gemara and says, if he goes in and he grabs the money, we're not going to take it away from him. Wait a second. I just finished telling you that tfisa is something that's reserved for the wild, wild west. It's something that the halacha doesn't recognize. Whenever Beis Din sees tfisa, so we immediately step up to the plate and we say, we're going to right that wrong and take it away from the Taifas. We don't give money to people who are stronger than others. What do you mean? Tfisa, the Gemara says, that we let tfisa happen. So what's pshat? The answer is as follows. Tfisa is a valid mechanism, whether it's a nice thing to do, whether it's an ethical, moral thing to do, is a machlekes achron. The Gemara never says you are allowed to be Taifas. The Gemara says, if you did it, we're not going to stop it. Tfisa works in a situation where we as Beis Din know that you owe the money, but our hands are tied. It means we have a protocol problem. We don't have a case, but we know exactly what the din is. We know we caught Reuven red-handed stealing and shechting, and we know for a fact he has to pay dal mei. But Nebuch, we don't have the jurisdiction to do that because we don't have smicha anymore. So in a situation where Beis Din is certain that Reuven has to pay, it's just that we can't enforce it. So then we turn the other way and we say, listen, we can't do anything about it. Hint, hint. You want to do something about it, we're not going to stop you. Eat off a stump of kinamine. Well, let's say the marshal is another case where tefisa may work. Come libidramine. The Mishnah says, if I burn down your house on Shabbos, so I'm chayef skila for chil Shabbos, and I don't have to pay the money. So Rashi Babitzid of Tariyala says that whenever there's a kim libidramine, so Beis Din's hands are tied. The Parshas Mishpatim says Beis Din can't force you to pay, but says Rashi, what if the other fellow grabs the money? As they're taking the guy out to the Beis Haskila, they grab the money. So Rashi says, good. So they grab the money because the day Tfisa works. How does Tfisa work conceptually? So the answer is, he's chayav the money. We know he's chayav the money. We saw him burn down the house. Nebuch, our hands are tied. So in these two cases where we don't have jurisdiction on the case, either because we're not qualified as Dayanim because we're not smuchin, or because the Torah took it out of our jurisdiction because whenever we have to mete out a more serious punishment, we are removed from the case of the lesser punishment. So Beis Din's hands are tied. So only in those two cases do we have precedent in halacha for tefisa. That's not b'metziyat davav. B'metziyat davav, Beis Din says, we don't know whether you are the owner of the bechor. We have no idea whether you're entitled to. So in a situation where we don't even know whether you're entitled to, b'chiyah gavra, under those circumstances, tefisa doesn't exist in halacha. So the reason why tefisa doesn't work, the action on a safek, is because tefisa doesn't work. Because the principle of tefisa, short of a case where we know for certain that you have to pay, short of that, tefisa is a non-entity in halacha. But maybe that's not the pshat. Maybe it's not that tefisa is nothing in halacha. Tefisa is meaningful in halacha. It's meaningful, but it's not as meaningful as the original muhsak. Original muhsak is more powerful than a present muhsak. Because the original muhsak, we know, was done, we have no reason to believe anything was done strange, we have no reason to believe that anything involved force. So therefore, in the hierarchy you're based in, so last week we issued a psak based on muhsak. And that was a psak that was worth a lot of power to it. This week, we want to issue another psak. We would like to give the money to the muhsak right now, we'd like to give the money to the tofes right now, because we're not, we don't think that tefisa doesn't register on our scale. We believe tefisa. We know there's a principle of tefisa. But Beis Din now has to reassess, well, who has a stronger koach in halacha right now? Not who's stronger in terms of brute force, but who has a stronger koach in halacha? The original muhsak that was accomplished without any monkey business is worth 10. And the muhsak that was created with monkey business is worth 2.5. So who's going to win? Obviously the 10 is going to beat out the 2.5. So the reason why tefisa actually something loses is not because it's nothing, it's just that it can't meet the match. It can't meet the more powerful force in halacha called the original muhsak. So what is it about tefisa that's deficient? What is it about tefisa that's lacking? Is tefisa a nothing? It's 10 to 0. Tefisa is mamash, it's a shutout. Tefisa is what? The halacha doesn't recognize tefisa short of the cases of smuchin, lack of smuchin, and kim l'dramine. Otherwise, the halacha doesn't recognize tefisa for anything. Well, we say, no, we do recognize tefisa for exactly what it's worth, but it's not worth as much as a muhsak that was accomplished without a tefisa. So it's a very fine line, very dakistic shaila. Is tefisa nothing, or is tefisa something but it loses? So you may be wondering, but who cares? At the end of the day, who cares? At the end of the day, whether you lose the game, and a little baseball muscle these days, whether you lose 10 to nothing, whether you get shut out 10 nothing, or whether, like the Mets, you lose 3-2 in the 18th inning or something. I don't know if it happened last night, but it probably would have happened. You lose those kind of heartbreakers. At the end of the day, in the column of statistics, you end up with the same loss. So does it make any difference whatsoever? Of course it makes a difference, and that's going to be all from Mentor Shem. We're going to continue the sugya. Next week, we'll continue. Next week,